And now it's time for the Wild Side News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
We're swilling our way into spring here in the Northern Hemisphere. It's time for life to emerge, and it does. The nights show off their new constellations, while seeds splash out in celebration. Bears come out of hibernation. College students sick of too much education. Politicians vie for final confirmation as we all go down from economic strangulation. As the price of gas keeps rising at the neighborhood gas station, Congress keeps on asking about those covert operations, but only seems to come up with more endless frustrations. And that's why it's time to tune into the station as the Wild Side News sends to you this invitation. Spring's coming. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
At exactly 5:48 Greenwich Mean Time on March 20th, 2008, every living thing everywhere on this earth will be in balance with exactly half the day in light and half the day in darkness. It's that official beginning of spring in the Northern Hemisphere. It's amazing how many cultures around the world were able to mark this day exactly. The Mayan and Aztec cultures built their temples to confirm it. At Chaco Canyon, on the top of a monumental rock mass, Chacoans marked the day with a sun dagger piercing through a spiral. It makes me wonder if these ancients didn't think of this more as the beginning of the year. And it makes me wonder how our lives would be different if we marked spring as the beginning of the year, where everything begins in balance. Summer and winter are extremes, hot and cold. The center point seems a better place to begin. Spring is an Earth celebration, unique to us. And just as we have fooled ourselves for all time referring to a sunrise, when it really is an Earth turn, so too we think the Earth turns towards the sun. Actually, the Earth just goes round and round and round and round. And we seem to lean into our journey around the sun, and that lean means that sometimes that fixed lean leans away from the sun in winter, and then 6 months later, on the other side of the sun, so to speak, it's leaning towards the sun, as in summer. Nothing wobbling back and forth. If we did, the North Star would be going round and round in circles. Today we're going to learn how you can get synced up with spring in just 10 minutes. That's coming up in the weekly Earth Summit in just a few moments. And in segment two, it's time again for the Environmental Film Festival in the nation's capital. And this year, they're focusing on water. We'll be talking with David Douglas, the president of Water Advocates, who will be sharing the critical need to address drinking water issues around the world as World Water Day approaches this Saturday. It's a great show coming up. So now it's time to get things going with the weekly Earth Summit. Welcome to the weekly Earth Summit, the most important 15 minutes on Earth. I'm your host, Sydney Wildsmith. It's a good thing to get synced up. Everything works better when things are in sync. So today I'm going to tell you how you can get in sync with spring in just 10 minutes. And because I know how busy we all are these days, I'm going to make this especially easy because it will take just 1 minute at a time. It couldn't be easier than that. But I guarantee, if you just take 10 single minutes, you'll get yourself in alignment with this planet and the season. And what's easy is you don't have to do them all at once. As a matter of fact, it's better if you spread them out throughout a week. And maybe you'll find that if you make it a habit to repeat these 10 one-minute exercises every week, it will keep you synced up even more through time. So here are the 10-minute exercises of spring. The one caveat here is that during each of these minutes, this has to be your entire focus. Okay. So here goes. Minute 1. For 1 minute, just watch the clouds. Sometime in the next week, when you're outside, spend just 1 minute watching clouds. Minute 2. Whether you're indoors or outdoors, spend 1 minute touching a plant. Focus your attention on a plant. Feel its leaves. Touch its stem. Feel how it feels to just run your hands up the plant. Say something nice to the plant. Minute 3. Take a container of water outdoors and spend 1 minute gently watering a plant that you think would like a drink of fresh water. Create a little moat around the stem of the plant and slowly pour the water in, letting it seep down into the ground. Minute 4. Sometime when you're outside, stop whatever you're doing and just listen. Try to hear the life around you. Try to make out every bird call. Listen to leaves rustling in the wind. Try to extend your hearing so that you can hear to the edges of your yard, out into your neighborhood, out into your town or city. Hear the world in spring. Minute 5. While you're taking a shower, get things started and then spend just 1 minute with the shower off. You can just lather up, rub your head, clean your body, even take a few deep breaths. You'll be taking the first steps at helping to deal with the shortages of water it seems we're all heading for. Then go ahead and continue showering. Minute 6. Sometime this week, go ahead and head outside at night and just stare up at the universe and wonder for just a minute. Think whatever comes into your mind, and be sure to take a moment to put this earth into the middle of the infinite. Minute 7. Take 1 minute to secretly feed an animal. What's that mean? Take something edible, a small piece of bread, an uncooked pea, a leaf of spinach, a piece of raw meat, whatever it is, and go outside. Now find a secret place where you'd expect animals to traverse and secretly put your treat there, and then go away. Next day, see what's happened. If nothing has, then try it again somewhere else. Eventually you'll find a place where some animal delights in its newfound treasure. Minute 8. Sometime during the week, take 1 minute to tell a friend or even an acquaintance about one of the things you've done this week as part of your 10-minute spring exercises. Choose any of them and just work it into a conversation. Open up a conversation about animals, plants, and the earth. Minute 9. Sometime this week, go outside and tell the earth how thankful you are for all that it provides, and ask the earth to help you understand how you can help it through these difficult times. Somehow the earth listens, and the earth speaks. Be open to hear what it will share with you in the days ahead. And finally, minute 10. Take 1 minute to write a secret note about the earth. Just 1 minute. Put it on a piece of paper, or write it with chalk on a sidewalk, or in the dirt on a car window, or in an email to a friend. Write a secret message about the earth and spread the word. I guarantee every one of you, if you take just these 10 minutes, giving each minute your fullest, deepest attention, you and the world will become closer friends. And for any of you who can find the time, besides these 10 minutes, send me an email about anything that happened as a result of your 10-minute spring sync. Send it to wildsidenews@cox.net. That's WILDSIDENEWS at COX.NET. And remember that we meet here every week during the first segment of the Wild Side News. This is Sidney Wildsmith inviting you to join us there for each week for the most important 15 minutes on Earth, on the weekly Earth Summit. And now a brief look at this week's Nature News. So now the news. Nature is full of surprises, and the newest reports on winter precipitation are like a terrific present. With the coolest winter since 2001 here in the U.S. and around the globe, a significant increase in moisture and therefore snowpack occurred over this last winter along the West Coast. This is good news for those who have been warning of the potentials for water shortages due to global warming. The record coolest winter, however, was actually balanced off by a generally warmer winter in the eastern half of the nation, which also brought good news to those whose heating bills rise and fall with the winter temperatures. Mountain snowpack exceeded 150% of average in large parts of Colorado, New Mexico, Arizona, and Oregon. This should prove beneficial to these drought-plagued areas. Around the world, glaciers are on the run, shrinking and retreating at an accelerating rate. 30 of the world's largest glaciers, with long historic record-keeping, indicate that the rate of melting is averaging just about 5 feet per year. At this rate, many of the world's glaciers will be gone within a couple of decades. This will have dramatic impact on people which rely on glacial waters, particularly in areas like India, which rely on the Himalayan glaciers for much of their water. The western U.S. also relies on glacial meltwaters to a large degree. Whoops, looks like there's been a little fussing of the lines at the EPA. The House Energy and Commerce Committee is holding hearings on apparent conflicts of interest as advisors to the EPA were, in certain cases, actually employed by the companies which manufactured the chemicals and agents that they were reporting on. Among the appointments questioned, an employee of ExxonMobil Corporation who served on an expert panel assessing the cancer-causing potential of ethylene oxide, a chemical produced by ExxonMobil. A participant on a panel assessing the risk to humans from a commonly used octane enhancer who was employed by an engineering company that worked with the makers of the chemical and major oil and chemical companies. Whoops. A scientist who served on a panel examining the health impacts of ethylene oxide, again, a component in various industrial chemicals, who received research support from Dow Agro, one of the chemicals manufacturers. The examples by the House Committee were part of a report last month by the Environmental Working Group, a Washington-based advocacy group that said its investigation found that among 7 external EPA review panels, 17 reviewers showed potential conflicts of interest. Dolphins give a damn about other animals, or at least that's the conclusion of many who witnessed a most amazing show of compassion by Moco, the bottlenose dolphin. Moco is a friendly dolphin that likes to hang out with humans at a New Zealand beach. But Moco pushed her way past humans trying to help reorient a mother's sperm whale and her calf, which had lost their sense of direction and had succeeded in restranding themselves 4 times, that is, until Moco came to the rescue. Moco approached the sperm whales and then led them the 200 yards it took to find passage back to the sea. There are many stories of dolphins coming to the aid of humans, but their zeal for altruistic action is now reaching out to animals that require assistance. Thank you. We need all the help we can get right now. And that's the news. If you have any news tips, please send them here to the Wildside News. You can send an email to wildsidenews@cox.net. I'll repeat that, wildsidenews@cox.net. In just a moment, we're heading to the nation's capital to talk about water, the topic of discussion at the 16th Annual Environmental Film Fest, happening right now. You'll hear about that and more when your Voice of the Earth continues here on the Wild Side News.
Okay. Strolling along in Central Park, everyone's out today. The daisies and dogwoods are all in bloom. Oh, what a glorious day for picnics and frisbees and roller skaters, friends and lovers and lonely sunbathers. Everyone's out in merry Manhattan in January. brought the iced tea? Did you bring the bug spray? The flies are the size of your head. Next to the palm tree, did you see the gators looking happy and well fed? Everyone's out and merry, Manhattan in January. My preacher said, don't you worry, the scientists have it all wrong. And so who cares, it's winter here, and I have my halter top on. I have my halter top on. Everyone's out and merry, Manhattan in January. You weary.